How does the saying go? Where there's smoke, there's fire. And right now, there's a lot of smoke hanging over British Columbia and a lot of fire. We'll look at how this fits into the current scheme of things after I welcome you to episode 35 of Navigating the Energies of Life, a podcast that looks at how the energies of the Maya calendar are at work in the world and how they apply to daily lives. This is Marguerite Paquin back again with a podcast to accompany my horoscope blog that tracks the days of this calendar. As always, we're working here with a calendrical system that has at its core 20 unique solar force energies that work in tandem with 13 unique numerical powers to create a core cycle of 260 days that involves the interconnecting and cycling of those energies to create a count of days known to the Maya as a Zolkin. These are the energies of life, energies not only observed by the ancient Maya and encoded into their calendrical systems, but energies that we can see playing out quite clearly in so many current events. I'm recording this on the evening of the fourth day of this Oak Tresina, spelled O-K, sometimes O-C, pronounced Oak, where traditionally the emphasis was on fire, warmth, guidance, and renewal, and on the illumination of direction oriented towards change, justice, and the creation of new possibilities. Oak is also the Maya word for dog, so think of this also as the dog Tresina, with the dog in Maya mythology often shown carrying a torch and lighting the way. Before we look at this, let's just have a quick review of some of the main events from the Kiban Tresina that just concluded. Those who are following this may recall that we were dealing with Earth movement, often evolutionary movement at that time, events that could cause huge shifts in one form or another. And during those 13 days, a number of amazing evolutionary types of shifts did take place. In Chile, for example, the very first day marked the beginning of a new era as their newly elected Constitutional Assembly met to draft an historic new constitution. The assembly was made up of a broad swath of the country's diverse population, including 17 people representative of Chile's indigenous population. This new constitution is being created to replace Chile's previous Magna Carta, which was created during the era of the Pinochet dictatorship. Replacing that, this new assembly is focusing on such things as public health and education, equal rights for women and minority groups, and viable environmental regulations. Chileans fought hard to get to this point. In Canada, there were other historical evolutionary events, particularly with regard to First Nations. Early in the Tresina came the announcement that Inuk leader Mary Simon is to become Canada's 30th Governor General. When she's formally installed in that position during this Tresina, she will become the first Indigenous person in Canada to take on that role. On the same day as that announcement, Prime Minister Trudeau signed a landmark agreement that saw Canada return child welfare responsibilities to the Cowessess First Nation, which Trudeau described as a critical step in reducing the number of Indigenous children in the foster care system, one of the many steps finally being taken to right the long list of wrongs that have been inflicted on First Nations in Canada. Wrongs, well, make that atrocities, that have been inflicted for decades, even centuries. But finally, concrete efforts are being made. In other places, unfortunately, things went very badly during the last decennia. In countries such as Cuba and South Africa, it was looking like society was breaking down completely as wide-scale anti-government rioting broke out. And then there was the assassination of the president of Haiti and the dreadful aftermath of rioting related to that atrocity. These are just a few of the earth-shaking events from that time frame. On a completely different note, we saw what some have referred to as the dawn of a new space age during the last decennia, as billionaire Richard Branson and his crew flew into space in his own Virgin Galactic Spaceship 2 space plane, a sleek and luxurious craft that was carried into space by a mothership called White Knight 2. In the upper atmosphere, the mothership released the space plane and its own rocket engine took over. After it did whatever it wanted to do way up there, the pilot was in control, and the crew clearly was having a great time, the space plane glided back to Earth and landed, just like a regular plane on a runway. Pretty slick. And so it begins, space tourism. So now we are into the Oak Tresina, where on this Forben day, or evening, the defining of self-determination, Jeff Bezos did something similar. Well, this evening he's celebrating something he did earlier today, but in a different kind of spaceship, a type of capsule that landed under parachutes. Again, a new space race, this time involving billionaires? We'll see what happens there. Okay, let's look at this Tresina. As noted in my horoscope blog, traditionally the first day of this energy period was celebrated as an ancient Mesoamerican feast day of renewal, oriented around the idea of guidance, justice, and the restoration of life. The entire 13-day time frame was originally thought of as being under the patronage of a deity known to the Aztec as Xipi-Totec, who sometimes depicted in a somewhat gruesome way with a flayed skin. But he actually represents renewal. Again, think metaphor. So think of him as the Lord of Renewal. I know that this can be a bit confusing because you have to kind of work at decoding the Aztec imagery, which can be somewhat fearsome at times. But with the loss of so many Maya books burned by the 16th century missionaries, we sometimes have to go to Aztec imagery for information that ties in with some aspects of the calendar. Anyway, so think renewal for this Tresina. And along with Xipitotec, we can see Quetzalcoatl, the Lord of Life, as the second overseer. This is equivalent to the Maya deity known as Kukulkan, the great life-giving feathered serpent. Traditionally, the emphasis here was on fire, warmth, guidance, renewal, and on the planting of seeds for change, for justice, and for the creation of new directions. As noted in the horoscope blog, One Oak, the first day of this period, was the calendrical energy associated with an Aztec deity known as Xiuhtecuhtli, associated with the renewal of time and the creation of life itself. So One Oak would be his Maya birth energy. He makes appearances at more than one point within the overall 260-day cycle, but here he plays a major role. He was sometimes depicted as the deity known as Weiweteotl, which translates as the old, old god, but basically the old, old fire god, whose image was often shown on fire braziers and censers that were lit for sacred ceremonies. There's a picture of this in the horoscope blog. So this was an important energy aligned with purification, transformation, the regeneration of natural cycles, and even the regeneration of the cosmos. It's all about regeneration through fire. And well, that's certainly what's happening right now in the BC interior, with 296 active wildfires blazing as of today. While this time frame may be about regeneration through fire, in the case of those wildfires, that can be, and I'm sure is, terrifying for many. Many evacuation orders and alerts have been issued, and the BC government has just declared a state of emergency. So that's regeneration through fire going on right now in a literal sense. But there's also the idea of life generating fire, as in being fired up for a cause. And there are certainly a lot of causes that people can get fired up about at this time. In the U.S., the first day of this Tresina marked the start of what has been called a summer of direct action to preserve democracy in the U.S. And as amazing as it is that they are still having to fight for that fiercely, there is all sorts of evidence to suggest that Americans are, in fact, almost in the middle of another civil war over it. So many, even in Congress, even in Congresses across the U.S., can't seem to distinguish the difference between truth and basically big, fat, totally outrageous, even downright vile lies. And to boot, those lies are so politically biased that they're even preventing people from taking precautions to protect themselves and others from a deadly disease. Today, just after Joe Biden held his cabinet meeting to discuss key issues that they're all working on, commentators were saying that it's amazing that the president basically has to, quote, sell the merits of democracy, unquote, because it's under such severe attack right now. It's all quite incomprehensible. So this is really a hot, fiery July on many fronts. And then there's Europe, where they're working through the aftermath of the devastating flooding that caught so many by surprise at the end of the last Trissina, which, by the way, the end of the last Trissina was 13 Maluk, associated with transformational water. That's what they're dealing with from the flooding that followed the intense rains just before that. The earth in many parts of Germany and Belgium were quite literally moving as whole sections of towns were swept away by the fast-moving waters. So now, in addition to all the effort that has to be put into cleanup and restoration, the focus is on the question of how can things be rebuilt in ways that can offer protection in the future from this kind of catastrophe. Over in the UK, yesterday's so-called Freedom Day, when most of the last remaining coronavirus restrictions were lifted, coincided with the Maya energy of 3 ebb. That's an activating energy aligned with the opening of pathways, a revitalization type of force that can be quite refreshing and healing oriented, but also can be quite open-endedly free-flowing. This opening brought mixed reactions, from giddy celebrants rushing onto dance floors to outright nervousness and concerns by scientists and healthcare workers who are finding the rapidly rising case numbers to be quite worrying, with over 54,000 new cases of COVID-19 registered in the UK just 2 days earlier, on One Oak, July 19th. However, we do have to give them credit for their vaccination rates, with over 90% of the people in Wales and 87% in England having received at least one dose of the vaccine. And in addition, over 66% of the people aged 18 and over in England, Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland having received a second dose. They're doing quite well in that regard, so we'll have to see how things go from here. While I'm mentioning this, let's just have a quick look back at some of the highlights relating to how this overall situation has evolved over the last two cycles. So we're looking at 2 times 260 days. So we'll go back first to two cycles ago in February of 2020, when the coronavirus seemed to be igniting the pandemic in several different places. Africa's first case was registered near the beginning of the Trissina, and then by the sixth day came the discovery of Italy's first case. So that was the beginning, and then up to the sixth day, and then a few days later, still in this Trissina, a dozen towns in northern Italy began locking down, and then shops, museums, theaters, restaurants, schools, universities, and transportation systems began closing in Milan, which really began getting people's attention worldwide because this is a large European city. And that was something people had never really seen before. By then, this was referred to as the third largest COVID-19 outbreak in the world. And by the end of the Trissina, there were 300 confirmed cases in that country. Meanwhile, in the US, The leader of the presidential gong show was claiming that the COVID-19 situation there was very much under control, at the same time as the CDC's top official on respiratory diseases was warning the American people that disruption to everyday life might be severe. San Francisco seemed to be listening because they declared a state of emergency on the last day of this dracaena at that time, as the global total by then had reached 80,000 cases. One cycle later brought us to late October and early November of last year. So that was one cycle after the ignition of the pandemic and one cycle before where we are right now. On that opening day for this dracaena, which was October 30th last year, the global number of cases had reached almost 46 million. That was the day when the U.S. set a new global record for new cases on a single day at over 101,000 new cases, over 100,000 for the first time ever. By that time, there were over 9.3 million cases of the coronavirus registered in the U.S. Hospitals were in crisis mode, and over 235,000 people in the U.S. had died from it. And while headlines in newspapers all over the country were reporting out-of-control and raging COVID surges, emphasizing how hospitals were unable to keep up and case numbers were hitting record highs, the monster in the White House continued spewing despicable lies, even to the point of saying that nobody dies from it. While this was happening, France imposed a nationwide lockdown, and both the UK and Italy began a second lockdown as case numbers started to surge again. By the end of the dracaena, and that would be November the 11th, the global number of cases had reached over 52 million, and the U.S. recorded on that last day a new one-day record high of 142,000 new cases, and vaccinations were still not available. That was just after the presidential election, and tensions in the U.S. were high, or should I say, fiery and intense. Fast forward one more cycle, and we come to where we are now. As of today, July 20th, Maya Day for Ben, 192 million cases have been reported globally, an increase of 146 million over one cycle of 260 days. And the U.S. has registered over 35 million cases, an increase of almost 26 million in that country alone over the last cycle, with the death toll in that country now over 625,000. Fortunately, vaccines have been available for a good portion of the last cycle, and many countries have been making the most of it, such as the UK, with those figures I just mentioned. Canada is also doing quite well in this regard, with over 78% of Canadians aged 12 and older having received at least one dose of the vaccine by this time, and over 50% having received both doses. But things have been slowing down in this regard in the U.S., despite the continuous push from the Biden administration and from medical personnel. Edward Keenan of the Toronto Star, who is the Star's Washington bureau chief, referred to this situation as, quote, the tragedy of belligerent self-destruction that is threatening to immolate parts of the United States, unquote, as he reported on the, quote, stark politicization of the pandemic, unquote, that is involving the spread of deliberate misinformation that is resulting in mistrust of government and medical authorities to the point where high percentages of Americans in some areas have not even had one shot, even though vaccines are readily available. As this Tristina was beginning, it was being reported that COVID-19 cases in the U.S. were up 70% over the previous week, and COVID-related deaths were up 26% over the previous week, with the coronavirus on the rise in every single state by this time. The CDC director warned that this is becoming a pandemic of the unvaccinated. As Joe Biden commented with regard to the lies being told, they have been, quote, killing people with misinformation, unquote. So there has definitely been a shift in a different direction, bizarre as it is. And it does seem like this Tristina is already igniting some new trials and tribulations in this regard, as in Japan, where 67 confirmed cases linked to the Olympic Games in Tokyo have already been reported. They seem to be monitoring this moment by moment and even now are saying that the games might still be canceled, even though they're officially scheduled to open on Friday. Despite significant objections and restrictions, given how incredibly rapidly the virus can spread, this is a dicey and, dare I say, volatile or fiery situation. Okay, let's move on a bit. I've mentioned before that in the past, many key events have taken place within this Tristina that have been associated very specifically with the fate of the United States. These have included world-changing events related to Presidents Nixon and Kennedy, pivotal events associated with Hillary Clinton's bid for the presidency in 2016 and the U.S. presidential election last November. Regarding Nixon, it was the Watergate scandal during the early 1970s that took basically 2 years to sort out, but ultimately the smoking gun tape that contained evidence of obstruction of justice was found during this Tristina, which ultimately led to Nixon's resignation. Regarding Hillary Clinton, this was the time frame during the summer of 2016 when she made history by becoming the first female to be officially nominated as a presidential candidate by a major U.S. political party. As of the middle of this Tristina, it will be 7 Zolkin cycles, or 7 times 260 days, since she delivered her acceptance speech as the Democratic nominee for president at the Democratic National Convention, with every expectation that she would actually be elected president. And we all know what happened after that. And of course, the last time this oak dracaena was in place, last November, it was the U.S. presidential election. The election was on the fifth day, which was 5-ish, an energy that can translate as the blessing of transformation. With the day before being for Ben, a defining energy related to personal authority and self-determination, which is Ben. And that was the day that marked the 100th Gregorian anniversary of the day in 1920 when women voted for the first time in the U.S. It was also the Maya birth energy of the pioneering political activist Emmeline Pankhurst, the founder of the suffragette movement in the UK that I spoke about in episode 17 of this podcast series. Her for-Ben birth energy was in place again when Hillary was nominated and when the first article of impeachment was approved against Richard Nixon. Significantly, for-Ben was the energy in place on the day when President John F. Kennedy was assassinated in 1963. So I was thinking last time on the eve of the election that perhaps the spirits of both John and Emmeline would be stepping in to help Joe to win the election. In any case, it worked, and by 8 Caban, the numbers confirmed that Joe did indeed win with the most votes ever in a presidential race. And that date, too, was interesting because 8 Caban, which has to do with the resurrection of Earth movement, was the energy in place at the time of the memorable inauguration of John Fitzgerald Kennedy as the 35th president. It's also former President Jimmy Carter's Maya birth energy, the 39th president, and it was also the energy that was in place when Vicente Fox was inaugurated as Mexico's president in the year 2000. Note as well that the day before this is 7 Keeb, which back in 1963 was the energy in place at the time of President Kennedy's state funeral and burial at Arlington National Cemetery. And this time it will be the day of the state funeral for Haiti's President Moise, who was assassinated during the last dracaena. So, another interesting Maya calendar coincidence or not? As it happened, Kennedy's inauguration and funeral were only one day apart in terms of the calendrical energies. So, we are looking at precisely 4 Dzogchen cycles from his inauguration to his first full day of rest after his funeral. With regard to that 8 Caban inauguration day, in the horoscope blog, I included an image of a postage stamp that was issued after Kennedy's death that included a line from his inauguration to do with the lighting of the world from the glow of the fire that defends freedom. The line was this, quote, "In the long history of the world, only a few generations have been granted the role of defending freedom in its hour of maximum danger. I do not shrink from this responsibility. I welcome it. The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And the glow from that fire can truly light the world. Unquote. This seems to be very much aligned with this Trisina. And Kennedy's words became a powerful motivator for millions of people in the 1960s, particularly with regard to the civil rights movement. And now, it seems that people are being required to mobilize again, to regain the ground that is being eroded by so many voting restrictions being put into place by Republicans in so many parts of the U.S. Once again, fire and passion is being called forth to defend democracy and advance civil liberties. And I should also point out that things are moving in an interesting direction in Peru at this time, as Pedro Castillo, a former school teacher and the son of peasant farmers, is about to be inaugurated as Peru's next president towards the end of this Trisina. So a new era in Peru is now beginning. And in Canada, a new era is also beginning, activated really on the three Ahau burner day that was in place on May 28th. I spoke at that time about the Ahau burner sequence, that sequence of Ahau days, 20 days apart, aligned with enlightenment. We're coming to the last day of that Ahau sequence on July 27th, but it really began under the activating influence of three Ahau when it was reported in BC that the remains of 215 children were found on the grounds of a former government-run Indian residential school in Kamloops. One of those horrific places where children were incarcerated and where they suffered extreme abuses just for being Indigenous. At that time, the Indian Residential School Survivors Society called on Pope Francis to address and apologize for the atrocities that had taken place in Canada's 139 residential schools over a period of some 120 years, since the Catholic Church was responsible for operating so many of them. But that three Ahau day was just the beginning, and hundreds of more unmarked graves have been discovered on the grounds of other formerly Catholic-run residential schools since then. When we arrive at 11 Ahau on July 27th, it will be 60 days since that activating day that started this particular burner sequence. Traditionally, 11 Ahau was seen as a day when the fires were extinguished in the sense of getting ready for a new burner phase, which I'll discuss during the next Trisina. I should also mention that back in 1493, it was an eight-caban day when the dreaded papal bull, known as the Intercetera, or Doctrine of Discovery, was issued by Pope Alexander, which stated that any land not inhabited by Christians was available to be discovered, claimed, and exploited by Christian rulers. This became the basis of all European claims in the Americas and the foundation for Western expansion in the U.S., where an 1823 judicial opinion held, quote, that the principle of discovery gave European nations an absolute right to New World lands, unquote. In essence, it said that Native Americans had only a right of occupancy, which could be abolished. The original papal bull is a frightening, long-winded treatise that laid out the commands as to what could or could not be done with regard to taking possession of lands that were, quote-unquote, discovered. One line reads, quote, "You should appoint to the aforesaid mainlands and islands worthy, God-fearing, learned, skilled, and experienced men in order to instruct the aforesaid inhabitants and residents in the Catholic faith and train them in good morals." Unquote. Essentially, the roots of the approach taken with regard to residential schools. So that formal beginning to 500 years of persecution happened during this Trisena. And then, on the fourth day of this Trisena in the year 2000, which was March the 12th that year, in a public mass of pardon, Pope John Paul II asked forgiveness for the sins of Catholics throughout the ages, admitting that, quote, "Christians have violated the rights of ethnic groups and peoples and shown contempt for their cultures and religious traditions," unquote. In the last podcast, I mentioned the effort in 1537 to rescind the original papal bull, but that didn't get very far. And Pope John Paul's Mass of Pardon didn't carry much weight either, much too broad and non-specific. First Nations people deserve much more than that, and will continue to push for it. And speaking of pushing, note that the powerful energy of 13 Eek, which translates as transformational wind, breath, and spirit, comes in on the last day of this time frame. I've spoken about this before, but worth repeating. Back in the spring of 1940, Germany had invaded Holland, Belgium, and Luxembourg during the first stage in the Battle of France, and British and Allied forces had been knocked back to the beaches of Dunkirk, where they became trapped by the German army. For some reason, the Germans halted their advance on Dunkirk for several days near the beginning of this Trisena, which allowed the Allies to organize an evacuation. The call for assistance went out, and over 800 vessels, both large and small, raced to the rescue of the stranded troops. The evacuation happened between Forbin, today's energy, the defining of personal authority, and 13 Eek, that transformational last day. During that 10-day period, a seemingly impossible situation was turned around by the unselfish involvement of ordinary citizens who leapt into the breach to rescue over 338,000 soldiers who were stranded on those beaches. The bravery and force of intent that went into this rescue operation became known as the Dunkirk spirit, something that is still needed, this time it seems, to save democracy itself. Okay, as always, there's so much more that can be said about all of this. As always, each of the days within this tracina is highlighted within my My Account of Days horoscope blog, which can be found at whitepuppress.ca, as well as at mayacalendararts.com, where you can find earlier podcasts, related posts, and information on such things as mentoring services and personalized artworks. It's always fascinating to see how the energies of the Maya calendar work within the context of individual lives. So for anyone who might want me to help them explore this kind of thing, including relationships with friends, families, and or events, feel free to contact me and we can work out a personal approach to this. It's very flexible and can be done on either a small scale or large scale, depending on your interests. Feel free, if you wish, to contact me if you have any questions. Contact information is in the websites, as well as information on subscribing to the horoscope blog. I want to finish up with a brief look at the ninth day in this energy sequence, which is 9 at Snub. Quite a dazzling, sparkling, outwardly projecting kind of force, as was in place last November when Joe Biden gave his victory speech and cities around the world erupted in celebration as congratulations poured in from leaders around the world. As a dazzling array of fireworks illuminated the skies, mask-wearing people across the U.S. and around the world poured into the streets to celebrate after Joe's victory was announced. They packed the streets for hours, dancing, singing, waving flags, expressing their sense of joy and huge relief that the era of the tyrant was coming to an end. It was a perfect expression of that energy. And perhaps no surprise, 9 Etsnab is also the Maya birth energy of J.R.R. Tolkien, the English writer and poet best known for The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings, works of high fantasy as they have come to be known. Clearly, I don't have time to get into any depth about all this, but I do want to conclude here with a few brief passages from The Fellowship of the Ring. Here's one. Quote, "The world is indeed full of peril, and in it there are many dark places. But still there is much that is fair. And though in all lands love is now mingled with grief, it grows perhaps the greater." And another. "All that is gold does not glitter, nor all those who wander are lost. The old that is strong does not wither. Deep roots are not reached by the frost. From the ashes a fire shall be woken. A light from the shadows shall spring. Renewed shall be blade that was broken. the crownless again shall be king. And lastly, I wish it need not have happened in my time, said Frodo.
So do I, said Gandalf.
And so do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given us. Amen to that. Until next time, be well, keep safe, love to you all.